Because if you haven't been here before, you wouldn't know that, but we don't normally have tables. But we wanted you to have to look at somebody else. So here you are, and to interact with some people. Thank you, sir. And so we're going to actually do this. We may change the setup a little bit, but we're going to do this through this series for a number of reasons, but I'll get to that in a minute. A couple of things I want to mention is starting 2 weeks from Wednesday, we are starting back our life groups, but we're doing something a little bit different. We're going to do it on Wednesday nights all together, and we're going to have a teaching time where either myself or Pastor Ishtar will be doing about a 30-minute teaching, and then we're going to break into small groups of like 4 to 6 people, gender-based, or if you happen to be married, couple-based, to process stuff together, encourage one another, pray for one another. So we're going to do that next door at First Church is where our offices are. So we're going to be there on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. in the choir room. So we'll give you directions and all that stuff. But what we want to do is we're going to be walking through this book together. It's called Victory Over the Darkness, written by a guy named Neil Anderson. The subtitle is Realizing the Power of Your Identity in Christ. It's a powerful, powerful book. And we believe that God is going to use this in our lives to see things really broken, to see us walk in the freedom that we've been singing about, that sometimes we don't actually realize in the way that we live our life. But the things that are there that have already been wrought, have already been won for us in Christ. So I want to encourage you to, we're going to do it, it's going to be 8 weeks. And you might go, well, I got something going on Wednesday nights. Can you set it aside for 8 weeks? Can you make a way to not do it for 8 weeks? It's that important. I believe this will be an 8 weeks that God could use to change and transform the rest of your life. And you're going, well, what is it? Well, it's because it's about knowing who we are in Christ. I mean, knowing and walking out who we already are in Christ. So it's going to be powerful. But we've got some books over there. They're $10. You can either buy one here, or you can go online and get it. If you're like me, I use the iPad. You can go and download it on Kindle. I think it's actually a little cheaper on Kindle. It's like $8 and something. But they cost us, I think, $10.19, but we're going to eat 19 cents for you. So grab one of those and plan to be a part of it. In fact, if you would, even at some point, on our little connection card, which I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but if you're here for the first time, we'd love to have you fill out the information just to let you know we appreciate you being here, et cetera, et cetera. But you'll notice under I would like information on, it says attending life group. So I want you, if you're actually looking, go, okay, I'm planning to come or I want a little more information about it, fill it out and check that. But even if you, and you can even put I'm coming if you're, you know, you're planning to come. It'll just help us to know who's all coming. That'll be great. Well, you may have noticed that there is some new stuff on my right and my left, that this is both the series I'm starting today, transformation / a new creation, but it also is the theme that we believe God gave us for this whole year, for 2012, that this would be a year of transformation, of us allowing Christ to continue to transform us. And we're going to talk, I'm just going to do an introduction today. You guys are going to talk a little bit around your tables. I'm going to get more into the whole series next week, but this is the powerful illustration. I doubt there's anybody in the room that doesn't know that caterpillars become butterflies. Is there anybody that's like, oh my goodness, I had no idea. I think probably my 3-year-old knows that. So I think we all understand that. But what you may not understand is how that actually happens. Well, which by the way, here's the deal. Nobody really understands how that happens except God. They've kind of broken some of it down, but how it really happens is just a mystery. But I'm going to get into a little bit of that because it so correlates to what this scripture right here means, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So kind of where this whole series is going is, for me, it's kind of broken into 3 parts. The first part is being made new in Christ. So we're going to talk about being a new creation. Then we're going to talk about being a new self. The part 2 is walking in Christ. Okay, there's certain things that God only did through Christ. You can't do anything except accept it or not. I mean, he did it. This transformation we're talking about, that happens when Jesus comes into your life, it's done. Now, again, we have to actually appropriate it and walk in it, but it's done. You don't have anything to do with making it happen. It's because of what Christ has done. But then there's this ongoing transformation that we can use this big word called sanctification. It's the ongoing process of us becoming more like Christ. And how many of you know that's going to keep happening until you leave this earth and go to be with Jesus? Because we all got stuff. How many people say, amen, I got stuff? Amen. We all got stuff. So part two is walking in Christ. We're going to look and say, what does it look to like to walk in holiness? To walk in purity? We're going to talk about choices. How many of you know choices kind of determine your life? There's so many crossroads you come to, and depending on what you choose makes all the difference. And so we're going to look, because sometimes we make good choices, sometimes we make bad choices. But here's the great thing, that in the midst of them all, when we give them to God, He'll turn those choices around for His glory. And then part three is living for Christ. We're going to talk about transforming our church. What does it mean that we're called to be part of this church, which is Grace Street, but the bigger church, the body of Christ? What does it mean? How do we become agents of transformation? Because I believe all of you are here today, not because you go, okay, I got to go do my church thing, but because you want to be changed and transformed by Christ so that you can be an agent of transformation. I believe that. I don't believe most of you would take the time to be here on a Sunday afternoon when there's a lot of other places you could be if that wasn't true. Then we're going to talk about what does it mean to transform our community? The community that we're in. Now that could be, you know, Cambridge or Boston. It could be the school I'm in, the job I'm in, the roommates I live with, wherever, the family I'm in. All those are your community. And then we're going to end talking about transforming our world. See, this is one of the most exciting things that Jesus said that when my Spirit comes upon you, you will become my witnesses in Jerusalem, which is right where you live, Samaria, kind of the neighboring cities, Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost, oh, I missed Judea. Yeah, Judea, which is kind of even little, you know, more neighboring communities. And then the uttermost parts of the earth. Dan just came back from some of the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, a couple of years ago, I doubt Dan would have ever imagined you'd come back talking about, I just came from Cambodia and Malaysia, and I don't even remember where else, but a bunch of other places. And many of you are from other places, so guess what? God calls you back. That's your Jerusalem. And some of you are going, well, I don't want to go back. Well, that's up to you and God. You know, some of us, God calls us back to where we came from. Some of us, He doesn't. But there are sitting in this room agents of transformation that will change the world. Now, some of you are in institutions that they tell you that, but they want you to change the world socially or politically or financially. But Jesus wants you to change the world spiritually, eternally. Forever. How many of you know you can invest yourself in a lot of things, but if you have eternal rewards, that's a pretty good plan. And so we're going to talk about that. Because I believe that if God's Spirit can help us better understand, and Jesus said He's sending the Holy Spirit to be the revealer of truth. One of the very characteristics of the Holy Spirit is to reveal truth. Well, who is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says He comes to reveal Christ. That as we get into the Word, that He reveals His Word to us. That it would change us and transform us. Not just like, okay, yeah, that was cool. That was nice. That was a good speech. I've been to a lot of good lectures. I've been to a lot of good speeches. None of them changed my life. There is nothing that I have to say personally that will change your life. But I pray by the power of God's Spirit through me that His Word can come alive and change and transform who you are, who you will be, who you will become, who you'll touch, and how you'll touch them. For me, this is what we're talking about. So we're going to do something before I get talking anymore. I'll get all fired up here and we'll forget this part. No, we're not going to. This is important. Is on your table there, I think, are they on your tables? Oh, they will be on your tables very quickly. This is where you sitting at a table is powerful and significant and not by accident. Some people walked in and go, like, is there a banquet afterwards or something? I'm like, no, you're it, man. This banquet is set up for you. Amen. Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. So on this little sheet, there's some verses here. And what I want you to do at your table is I want you to pick a facilitator. We haven't set up any facilitators, so I want you to kind of self-choose someone at your table. Maybe, you know, everybody close their eyes and point or whatever, but somebody gets to be, the facilitator. And I'm going to have you take a little time. You're going to read these verses. You're going to talk for a few minutes. And somebody also needs to take notes because I may actually ask you what you talked about. So, what's that? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Yes, question. I had put it out, and not, some of you may not know because you just came for the first time, but whoever doesn't have somewhere they go, are going afterwards for the Super Bowl, but you would like to, maybe you don't even care about the Super Bowl, but you go, it'd be fun to just go and hang out with some people. We are opening our home, and what we said we'd do is we would order some pizza, and everybody could just bring a few bucks. So just, and no pressure. I mean, if you're going somewhere, I really, doesn't care. It doesn't matter to me if it's me and my wife or if there's 50 of us, it doesn't matter. But if you're thinking or planning to come, we're going to order pizza now because otherwise the wait will be like really, really long. So how many of you are actually planning to come and hang out with us? Okay. All right. Again, no pressure. It doesn't matter if you aren't, but just so we can kind of count those folks. And again, if you change your mind at the end and you want to come, just come. But okay, did you get all that? Okay, beautiful. Okay, sorry, that was a good, okay. So anyway, now back to the table. So I want you to read these verses. I want, and I want you to talk about these. Now, you're not going to be able to talk at length about all three of these questions. So you may look at one and go, hey, we're going to start here. But these are the questions. What does it mean to be a new creation? Now here's the other deal. I know some of you are like really, you know, smart, and you've been in church a long time, so you know all the right answers. I don't really want the right answers. I want what you think. You know, the old thing, you remember the boys' fifth grade class? You know, the guy up front saying, you know, what's gray and furry and has a big fuzzy tail? And the kids are looking around. Nobody's raising their hand. He goes, you know, they collect nuts. They live in trees. And finally, this kid sheepishly raises his hand. He goes, well, it sure sounds like a squirrel to me, but I know the answer is Jesus. Okay, that's not what I want, okay? I want what you actually think. Okay, so no just squirrel answers. So what does it mean to be a new creation? Jesus. I set myself up for that one. Are we partly new creatures and partly old creatures? I'm definitely more of an old creature than most of you. And how do you understand transformation? So again, you're not going to be able to talk about all those at length because I'm not going to give you an hour. So anyway, why don't you read the scriptures and then start talking, and I'll jump back in here in a little bit. Dialogue and conversation, and hopefully we'll continue. But I do want to be sensitive to your time, and I'm not going to get into the whole sermon. I'm actually going to do just kind of an intro to it. But I want to get a little feedback. I've got, I'm like the talk show host here. I got the microphone. So I'm going to do it this way. Who has something they'd like to share? Their group was like, Chris does. Okay, all right. I'm coming over to Chris. All right. Okay, Chris, what would you like to share?
I was volunteered to share by my wife.
So now you're going to ask her what you're going to share? Is that...
Yes.
That reminds me of a joke, which I won't tell.
So we talked about a couple different things, but for the question where are we partly new creatures or partly old creatures, And I think the answer for all of us was no. We're new creatures, totally. And I was sharing, used the analogy of since I'm a software developer, I used an example of like a new piece of software, or piece of equipment. So I had the old iPod before, like the very first one, that could only do music and only do 100 songs, and that's all it could do. And now they have the new iPods that can do photos and videos and get internet and hold a million songs and all these new capabilities that it didn't have before. And so, in Christ, we're the new iPod, right? So we have all these new things that we can do all these limitations that we used to have, we don't have anymore. And we can, it's not just like these old things that we couldn't do or that we had problems with are fixed, but we can also do new things in Christ, and we're totally different, have a totally new look, and have new capabilities. And so I think it's possible to be a new creation, we just don't walk it out. So,
yeah, good, good. Yeah, speaking of that, I got to show you this, man. This is hilarious. Say, I saw this from the back, and I go, say, what is that? And he flips it around and goes, oh, that's my iPhone. I go, that is just hilarious. But he said that you could just throw it on the floor. I'm like, oh, cool. It bounces. I said, in a world that seems to always be trying to get things smaller, this is like really going retro, man. You could get like one of those big old first, handheld cell phones, that were like this big. So not to put you on the spot. I just thought that was hilarious, man. I was like, that's great. Okay, a couple more people real fast. Okay, Andrea.
My name's Andrea. We had a different take on the, are we partly new creatures and partly old creatures? I know it says in the Bible you're a new creation, but that doesn't always mean that there's not parts of your old creature that are still there. I mean, Jesus lives in you, but your old habits and things sometimes creep in, and you have to fight those to get down. Even in the iPod, I was thinking, it still has a music capability like the first one. So I think that partly you're old. I mean, you're mostly new because the Lord lives in you, but that doesn't mean you still don't have your selfish desires and you make mistakes and things like that. So while you're new, you're still working towards being like Jesus and becoming totally new.
This is good. We're going to talk about all this. All right. Okay. One more, and then I'm going to carry on.
I forgot something about the iPod. I was thinking.
Okay. All right. Somewhere the iPod illustration breaks down. But okay, go ahead. God is not like an iPod, nor is he Apple.
So if you're the new iPod, and if you forgot you're the new iPod, and you only work with all the things that are still the old capabilities, and you don't know that you can actually do all the more, it's still kind of a choice about the old and the new. And we have to utilize what God's given. That was my thought about that.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay, that's good. No, that's good. And we are going to get into conversations actually about all of that because, some of you are going, okay, well, you didn't answer it. Are we all a new creation? I'm not going to just give a bit of an illustration. I've talked a little bit about it. You can see it here, sort of the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. But before we do, and I may not even get there today. I'm just looking at the time. I may not even get there. And that's okay if I don't. But I think before we can understand what it is to be a new creation, this was something came from my wife, which I thought was so powerful, is we need to look at creation. Because, how do you understand what a new creation is if you don't understand what creation is? I thought, well, that's a really good point. So we got to go all the way back to the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1. But before we do, I want to define a couple of things. Creation. The act of producing or causing to exist. Now, here's my favorite. The act of creating. those are always those definitions that really like, wow! Something that is or has been created. Creation. Create. To cause to come into being. As something unique that would not naturally evolve or that is not made by ordinary processes. I like that. And the last one, creator. A person or thing that creates, the creator, God. I want you to turn with me real quick to Genesis chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there's some on the table. Genesis chapter 1, and verse 1. So it should be pretty easy to find in your Bible. First book of the Bible, first page of where Genesis is. And I'm going to read just the first few verses. It says in Genesis chapter 1, are we all there? Everybody find Genesis 1? Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, now you got to understand the Spirit of God here is a Hebrew word, ruah. Can you say ruah? It's kind of like bruha or hua, but it's ruah. R-U-A-H, ruha. And it means the breath of God. And this is the Spirit, how it's defined, how it's broken down here. The Spirit, the ruah of God, was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. As you read this whole story unfolding here in Genesis chapter 1 and then into chapter 2, it talks about how God speaks. Now, we all know that there are certain people that get in front of the room and when they speak, they just kind of, they have something. People listen. But I have never seen anyone speak and see something just appear. That's a power we can't even understand. It says that God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now you got to understand, before this period in time, there was no such thing as light. God said, let there be day and night, and there were day and night. It tells us in Psalms that the stars projected out of God's mouth. How about that? It says that Adam, the first man, God formed him out of dirt. And you go, okay, well, that's a pretty good trick to start with. I mean, I've seen some really good sculptors. But, I mean, try doing it out of dirt. Freehand. And people go, well, I could do that. Yeah, but then God breathed life into him. It says he took a rib out of Adam's side and he made a woman. When you read this whole thing, you go, wow, creation is a supernatural thing. Duh. Now we talk about creating things, but there is no one on the face of this earth that can actually create anything. They're trying. They're trying hard. I mean, some of you are scientists, and they're trying, and they might even believe they're getting close, but no one has been able to create something out of nothing. Because whatever they create takes something that already exists and turns it into something. No matter what it is, it exists. God created everything out of nothing. Whoa. So at its very base, creation is a supernatural, spiritual process that changes and transforms the natural realm. That's important for us to understand. That nothing can actually be a creation created by the Creator if it's not supernatural and it's not spiritual. But yet they're played out in the natural world. You might say, okay, I get it. Creation was a supernatural, spiritual process that affects the natural world. I would say creation is a supernatural, spiritual process that affects the natural world. I want us to briefly, quickly, watch this video. And I'm not going to probably get a chance to really break it down until next week. But this is a short video of the metamorphosis process. And I am so, I mean, who in here is our biology majors? Okay. How many of you like have really studied metamorphosis? Anybody? Yep, okay, great. Good. I never had. I mean, I went through biology, you know, did biology in college and almost failed. No, that was in high school. I actually did okay in college. And I remember it was like, okay, that's cool, but I didn't really understand just how cool It really is. So we're going to watch the process. I'm going to say a couple of things, and then we're going to have communion today before we finish. Let's watch it. This is a monarch caterpillar, by the way. I think so. Is there sound to this? No? If you were wondering what a monarch caterpillar sounds like when they're pupating. Goes back to the iPod. This is the caterpillar putting itself into the chrysalis. What's so amazing about this is it's actually, by the time it gets to this point, most caterpillars have molted or lost their skin 2 to 4 times. This is their final molting. So this is not actually the chrysalis. That is actually their outside of their body. They have just molted their skin, and the chrysalis is actually them. They used to call this the resting period of the metamorphosis process, but they came to find and understand that it's anything but resting or quiet in there. I don't have time today to get into this. We're going to talk about it next week. This is amazing. When you look at what happens in this process, what happens in that chrysalis, and it is reflective of what it says that we're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I really believe it's going to blow your mind. You're going to go, oh my goodness. Again, some of you have studied it and you probably get it, but it's like, I had no idea. I mean, did you know that caterpillar completely breaks down and no cells are left the same? That's ridiculous. The reason it goes into the chrysalis is so that nothing from the outside can affect that process. Nothing comes from the outside. It's only what's there. I was talking about this the other day, and I told my wife, and I was talking to somebody else, and I said, this is Romans 8:28. Because I used to go, you know, it's crazy that God can really take whatever's happened in our life and turn it around for his glory. And you just go, you know, God, even like the nasty stuff, even all the bad choices I made, God says, yeah. And this is why. Because God does it inside. His spirit does a work and breaks things down and transforms them so they never look the same again. We're going to have communion today. I'm a little bummed that I can't get more into this because it's exciting. It's so funny because I hated biology. I almost did flunk in high school. I got a D-, I think, in high school for biology. But part of it is I didn't really understand how amazing it was. Maybe it was my teacher. I don't know what it was. But it's now I look and I go, wow, God, everything it says in his word that nature reveals God. It says even one place that it cries out. And when you look at things like this, you go, what? One of the biggest struggles that evolutionists have is with the butterfly. Because the whole idea is that transformation, evolutionary transformation, takes millions and billions of years, but here's something that happens in a matter of days where something is completely broke down and transformed, and no two cells are the same. How is it possible? And if a God is able to take a caterpillar and make it a butterfly, what does he do for you and me? Because if you know anything, butterflies only live for a matter of days after they come out of that chrysalis. And then they hatch eggs and then they die. And you kind of go, man, God, what a waste. All that whole process is just for a matter of a few days and then boom, they're gone. So what does he do for us when he says we'll live for eternity? There are some things here that God wants to shake you and me up with. I mean, what does it mean that I'm a new creation? What does that mean? We've talked about it. I mean, you look at those two. I mean, would you look at the caterpillar and go, ah, yeah. They're almost identical twins. No, there's no way. And see, when Christ comes into our life, that's how God sees us. But we don't see ourselves that way. We might see ourselves kind of morphed in between. In fact, maybe if you put these two together, you kind of go, well, that's me. I'm a half caterpillar, half butterfly. I'm a catafly. Or a butterpillar. But God doesn't look at you that way. And what God wants us to understand is how he sees you. Forget about how you see you. Forget about how other people see you. Because we get it all wrong. But see yourself the way God sees you. Because when that happens at a deep level, it's a game changer. I know when it happened for me, and again, believe me, my wife would tell you, I'm continuing to be transformed and will be for the rest of my life. But when I got that I was a new creation, I've never been the same. And I was a believer for a long time. But I loathed myself. I believed what other people saw in me. I believed what I saw in me when I looked in the mirror, and something shifted when I began to see, you mean the things that God says are actually true? See, many of us believe them ideologically. Yeah, I get it. I'm a new creation. Okay, I get it. Yeah, the old is gone, the new has come. I get it that I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, a royal priest. I get it. No. Get it here. That it changes the way that I see, the way that I hear, the way that I live, who I am. This is the only way that we can be agents of transformation. Because if we don't actually believe we're transformed, then we're just some salesperson trying to convince somebody of something to buy something they really don't need. And I think many of us think, well, maybe that's true for somebody else, but it's not true for me. And I'm here to say, yes, it is. And it's not true someday. It's true right now. It happened the minute that Jesus comes into our life and we believe that Jesus is the Lord of all and we confess our sins, done deal. This is what I want you to get. This is what I want you to hear. I really don't care if it sounds all eloquent, sometimes I don't even know how to get it out. But I want you to understand you've been transformed. Jesus said that unless a kernel of wheat goes into the ground and dies, sounds a lot like going into a chrysalis and dying. It says if we die with Christ, we will be resurrected with him. We're going to have communion here in a few moments, and that's what it's about. It's not that we do this because it's a nice thing to do and we symbolically remember. We remember that Jesus Christ died, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead to prove, in fact, that he was God, that he was capable of paying the price for your sins and my sins, to prove that he, in fact, was the risen Lord. That when we bow our knee, we understand that because of all those things, as God raised him to the highest heights, gave him the name that's above all names, that every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Would you hand out the elements? And as they're playing, I guess I want to ask you to take a few minutes. And say, Lord, is there some place in me? Is there something that I'm missing? Maybe I know all the right answers. Yeah, the answer is Jesus. But I don't really believe that. I mean, if I'm really honest, I don't believe that. I don't believe that I've really been made new. I really don't believe that he loved me so much that he died for me. Because as we take this bread and we take this cup, it means absolutely nothing if we don't really know and believe what Christ did. Then it is just symbolic. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, there are a lot of symbols in life that are okay, but this is so much more than a symbol. Jesus said, he says, when you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Not the idea of me, but the reality of me. And that who he is becomes who we are. So as the worship team sings, just let God's Spirit speak to you. If there's something, maybe even as you're holding this bread, you're holding this cup, don't take it. We'll all take it together in a few moments. But let God speak to you.